A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said, a man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those of you who were at Mass this morning will be glad to hear that while I'm still a numpty, I know where my glasses are. As I get older, I understand that parable, one of the most powerful parables in the Gospel, in a different way. And when I wanted a text to start talking about God's mercy, I thought I would start with this parable. Perhaps you, like me, heard that parable preached as an incentive to go to confession. We are the prodigal son. We have done bad things. We need to get back on the right track. Let's go to confession now. Now, that's one way of focusing on the parable. The prodigal son, as I said this morning and last night, is a total numpty. He inveigles money out of his father, the inheritance that should have waited until the father's death, and he goes off and squanders it on a life of debauchery. The translation we use in Scotland is slightly more gentle. It refers to him and his women. We're left to guess what kind of women they were. Your translation is more specific. Now, it's not a great religious moment that he has. He's broke. He's hungry. And a bit like the steward in today's gospel, he thinks, what do I do? And he thinks of his father's servants who live in relative luxury. And he says, I'll go back to my dad and I'll ask him to take me on as a servant. When I was young, I was very conscious of my sinfulness. I went through seminary and we were continually reminded of our sinfulness. I think it was a church that emphasised and underlined sinfulness. And I don't mean to say that we're not sinful and that we don't need mercy. But that's not the whole story. As I have become older, if not wiser, I can see myself often in the position of the father, because often I have been hurt. I have been let down. I have been disappointed in the people I trusted, sometimes even in the people I loved. And when I read this parable, I have to think, what does the father do in the parable? He doesn't sit and cross-examine the son and say, so, how much did you spend here? How much did you waste there? He just sees him, loves him, and forgives him. That's how God is with us. Now, the third party in the story. When I was a young priest, my pastor had a dog that he wasn't fit to walk. So I used to walk the dog every night through quite a difficult neighbourhood. And people would come out and talk to me as I walked the dog. So one night a kid came out, young kid, maybe about 10, 11, and he said, what mass are you on Sunday, Father? And I said, 10 o'clock. What's the gospel on Sunday? I said, oh, it's the prodigal son. And he said, yeah, preached a good sermon on that the last time, but don't use the line that you used. I couldn't remember the line I'd used. And I said, what did I say? He said, you began your sermon by saying, who do I feel sorry for in the parable of the prodigal son? The fatted calf had done no wrong and got slaughtered. I was just totally amazed that he remembered, because I didn't. And I had been going to start that way. Now, the question is, what do we make of the older son? Today I told you what a numpty is. Well, he is the archetypal grumpy numpty. He's narrow, he's bitter. The father is full of joy at the son's return. The younger son is full of joy at his father's welcome and forgiveness. But the older son furrows his brows and says, why all this fuss for this useless brother of mine who spent the family money? Why should we forgive him? Why should we welcome him back? As I get older, I find myself thinking, how often am I the older son? How often am I judgmental? How often do I condemn people without knowing the full facts? How often do I fall into the temptation of thinking I'm better than other people? See, I think that's a big temptation for those of us who are regular churchgoers. We know we're good. We go to Mass. We read the Bible. We go to confession occasionally. We line up every Sunday for communion. How often do we look down on those who don't come to church? How often do we judge the people that we see begging in the streets, publicly drunk, obviously under the influence of drugs? It's so easy in our security and our sense of goodness to look down and criticise and sometimes even to condemn. Yes, sure, there are behaviours that are unacceptable, that are illegal. But how easy it is to judge without knowing the full facts. I had a wake-up call recently. A young lad came to my door begging for food. So I fed him and I got to know him. He wasn't living in very good circumstances, and I asked if I could visit his house. He was a bit ashamed, but eventually he said yes. When I got to the house, I thought I was going to be sick because of the smell. Just a one-roomed flat. And I said, when did you last wash your sheets? And he said, well, I'm here 4 months, so they've been on the bed 4 months. And he saw the look in my face, and he said, look at my flat. I have no washing machine. He said, the only way I could wash something big would be in the bathtub. I don't have enough money to heat enough water to wash my clothes. So excuse me if I'm smelly. Just now I live in a town centre parish, and many people come to my door looking for help, and many of them are hygienically challenged or smelly. And yet in my heart, my mind, I had condemned them. I had thought soap and water cost nothing or next to nothing. I didn't really know how lots of poor people lived. And it brought home to me how easy it is to judge, to condemn, without knowing the full facts. I think we're meant to learn a lesson from all three characters in the parable. When we do evil things, we're called on to repent like the Son and go back to the ever-loving Father. There are times when we're called to be that ever-loving Father, when we're called to open our hearts again, to lower our defences again, to find forgiveness again. You see, that's the way God is, and that's the way God wants us to be if we are to be his followers. The prodigal son craves mercy, needs mercy, is desperate for mercy. The father with the open heart is ready to give mercy, to share mercy in abundance. The older son doesn't understand mercy because he's so self-righteous, so conscious of how good he is. He can't understand the young brother's need for mercy. He can't understand his dad's desperation to give him that mercy. So I think one of the questions that the mission asks of all of us, and I include myself as much as yourselves, when am I the prodigal son? When am I the loving father? When am I the unforgiving, self-righteous brother? A mission is a time for reflection, for prayer, but it's also to gear us to action. Pope Francis, when he declared this the Year of Mercy, reminded us of the people that he speaks about on the peripheries, what we would call the margins of society, the people that normally we prefer not to think about. Now, that can work at a personal level. It can work, sadly, at a family level. And it can also work at a parish level. As individual Christians, we are called to love, serve, forgive. As family members, we are called to love and serve and forgive. And as a parish community, we're called to do exactly the same. To love God with all our heart and soul and mind, to seek his will in all things, to be there with each other and for each other. So as we begin this mission on the theme of mercy, let's ask God to pour his Spirit into our hearts, that we may acknowledge our own need of mercy, that we may find it in our hearts to show mercy, and that as Christians and as a Christian community, we may be missionaries of mercy.